We are in Mark 5 tonight, and let's open in prayer. So, Father, Lord, we come before you again, Lord, another Sunday evening. God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your awesome works that are great, Lord, and that we get to walk with you. We're your disciples, Lord, so we could be as if we're the disciples walking with you, seeing all these things that you've done to teach us, Lord, of your awesome power, Lord. And the power that you'll impart to us to do the works of ministry that you have for us, Lord. So I just pray for your church, Lord. Pray for tonight, Lord, your spirit would minister to us, Lord, to teach us, Lord. And thank you for your word, God. And thank you that as sheep we can come and eat, Lord. Eat together this wonderful food of your word, Lord. And so just pray that we would that you would be blessed, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, Lord, in this. Just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we were in Mark 4. And so we'll just give a little bit of a review as we enter into Mark 5. And because it ends with them crossing the Galilee. And so the title last week was to consider your ways as we looked at the soils, the wayside of the heart, the thorny ground. We looked at good ground, good soil, and just the encouragement that we would consider what we are sowing in our hearts, what we are being around, and what we're doing through our weeks and our daily lives, as we would consider, as we've had through this Mark study, Philippians 1:27 to be a broken record that we are our conduct, our way of life, conversation of life would be worthy of the gospel. The gospel being the simplicity of the gospel is that Jesus came, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven. That our lives would be, we would take up our cross and follow him. And we would have that resurrection power in our life as through the gospel, Jesus being resurrected from the dead and overcoming death. That we, our conduct would be worthy of that as we're encouraged to live like Jesus, to as we sit and look at Mark, this action gospel, simple, to the point, fast. It's the shortest of the gospel, and we get to see Jesus do all the works rather than, and his words, and just the straight way, and he did this. Then straightway, immediately he goes and does this. And in chapter 4, it ends. Chapter 4, in the great storm of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus sleeping in the boat, and he asks, and they wake him up, they're fearful, in 41, verse 41 of chapter 4, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, well, before that, back in verse 40, why are you so fearful, Jesus asked, and how is it that you have no faith? And then 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they are crossing the Galilee into Gadara. And we see in chapter 5 these amazing miracles, which immediately happen after this miracle on the sea. They see his awesome works. They see what he, that just by his word, the wind and the storm obeys his word. And then we enter in, and as the disciples are with Jesus, we too, like the disciples, were walking along with Jesus, and we're going to see what he does in chapter 5, and it's awesome. And so the title I have for tonight is out of Psalm 111:2, and that verse says, you can mark that down, do whatever you like with it, whatever title God ministers to you as you're reading ahead, and he's speaking to you, and you can kind of compare spiritual with spiritual. But Psalm 111:2 says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure in therein. And we can consider as we look at his works, how great they are, and we can seek them out. We're seeking them out together to see what he does. And then chapter 5 is really the school into chapter 6 as he sends out the disciples to have the power to do what Jesus does in chapter 5. And so we have in this chapter demons, death, and disease. We have the demoniac in the tombs and going out to see Jesus. We have the death of the 12-year-old girl with Jairus coming and asking Jesus to heal her, and she dies. And then we have the disease of the lady that comes to seek out Jesus because she has spent everything of all the worldly wisdom to be healed, and she comes to Jesus by faith. And so as we consider Jesus and his works, that the encouragement we have, as I see in chapter 5, we have the extremes. We have the demoniac, where we'll read how just crazy he is, right, with the demons, and that we can go around, and sometimes you'll be in town or walking downtown and you'll see people that, I mean, I'll think it too. That person's, you know, out of reach. You know, how can that guy be saved and get taken out of their state of mind? Or, you know, we have the extremes of death, that nothing is out of reach for God. And so we are encouraged to pray, to have faith, as Jesus questions their faith at the end of chapter 4. We are going to see some great faith in this chapter. And God desires, so as we see this and who he is dealing with, God desires that all men would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we see in this chapter there's nobody outside of God's reach. There's nobody too far gone to be reached by him, and that that we could believe that and have faith that God can heal and cast out demons and heal disease. So pray, pray, pray. Persistent prayer, as we see in Luke 18, and that we would not grow weary in praying for those. So 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, as we're exhorted, Paul writing to Timothy, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So like I said before, chapter 5, we're being schooled for chapter 6 as we enter into next week of what the Lord has for us. And so Mark 5, verse 1, let's enter in. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. So we are on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Gadarenes, it's named after Gad, the tribe of Gad. As the make notes in Numbers 32, we have why this area is called the Gadarenes. And we have Reuben, we have Gad, we have the half-tribe of Manasseh settling on the outside of the promised land. They didn't enter in to cross over what of the promised land of what God had for them. They wanted, as we see in chapter 32 of Numbers, they had a great amount of livestock, cattle. And they saw the land, how it was desirable for their livestock to feed and to have what they need. And so they desired what God didn't have desired for them. And as we see, as in our life, that God allows us to make the choices that we make. He will allow you to do what you want to do, go where you want to go. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force us to do anything. And so we have his word. I believe in his word, as this is a roadmap for life, and that we can, as we said, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, they settle on the outside. And as we see, for us, for them, you know, it started with cattle. And then when you're living on the edge, on the outside looking in, on the edge, then eventually it became, they got into the pork business. And we know that's against God's law. Are they eating pork? I don't believe they're eating pork, but I believe they're seeing that it's for those around, they're able to make a livelihood out of it. And You know, so it's good business. And so, well, they probably had compromise and thought, well, we're not going to eat it. At least we don't eat it, but we're going to deal with it because we're able to make money off of it. And we can look at that in our life. Are there things, our business, our the things that we make money? Well, I won't drink, but I'll work in the liquor business. So at least I'm not partaking of it, but you enter in that little bit of compromise for, our life. And so we see that with these guys. And then we have the demoniac that we're going to see here. And also Lot, if you look at Lot, he wanted to pitch his tent towards Sodom on the outside looking in. And so next time, yeah, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the next time we see Lot, he is in the city and he's even a part of the leadership of Sodom. And It starts on the edge, and then as the deceitfulness of riches and all that pulls you in, you know, don't live on the outside. Don't live, you know, get close to Jesus, as close as possible to him. So many lessons to learn, as we see in that, as we consider our lives. That I was talking to a guy this weekend at a street fair. His stepdaughter, you know, got saved. And I see the transformation in her life that probably 2020 really did a number on her, and you know, her starting a business called Living Waters, and seeing her, and you know, she's lost a lot of weight. She's just, you just see the transformation of her life, and it happened through a coworker at Starbucks just ministering the word of God to her, and it just, it took for her. And talking to my friend, and he was talking about her daughter, because I was like, hey, your daughter got saved, didn't she? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then she went out to Montana, and then he was telling me, well, she was part of a church that was really wanting to go all in. And you know, I just, you know, considering what he was saying about, you know, he made the comment of well, it was kind of like a cult, and they're kind of drawing her out of it because she wanted to go and evangelize, go to California and do all this, and, you know, jump right in. And so just how, you know, we can come together, we'll have this word, and you know, the people on the outside looking in, it was like, man, you guys go to church, you know, 3-4 times a week, and you guys are part of a cult. You know, they'll immediately, or they'll call it legalism. You know, here we're talking about, we have a lot of warning in this chapter, and we have a lot of what we're going to talk about, the doors of sin that will trap us. And so I look at him talking about his stepdaughter and how, you know, her life is transformed, and just considering, you know, what the outside will say to us, and we don't listen to that. We get as close to Jesus as we can, and if people call us legalists because we have the attitude like Jesus of that sin, you know, we hate sin. And so as we consider Jesus in these chapters, as we're walking through, you know, you start, you know, speaking out against things that they're doing, and that they may be Christians, but they're, oh, grace, you know, and that grace may abound. Grace does abound where sin abounds. But God desires for us that things would go well with us, and he doesn't want us to, for our well-being, not to partake in those things. And we're going to see how did this demoniac, verse 2, Mark 5, so Jesus comes out, when Jesus, he, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And notice, Jesus didn't go looking for the demoniac. He came to him. So we're not to go out and just be like, well, let's go find all the demon-possessed people and cast out demons and be, you know, demon hunters. They're going to come to us, and we have the power, you know, discerning of spirits, asking for discerning of spirits to know that, God, is this of you? And we can lay hands, and by faith, we can, you know, God will give us the power to cast these demons out. And so verse 3, who had this man who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. I mean, just think of that. Power that he had of what these demons, the power that the demons gave him to be able to tear apart steel shackles. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Worshiped, if you look at the definition, he's bowing before God, worshiping Jesus. And I think of us, as we have Jesus in us. I have the Holy Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit pointing me to Jesus daily. And I'll think of my conduct. Do I have as much reverence for Jesus as this demon-possessed man who isn't saved? And he says, he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." And you see the reverence that these demons, I believe, were in heaven. And in Isaiah 14, you can read all about that, where the third of the angels decided to follow Lucifer out, and they had seen the glory of God in heaven. And here they're roaming the earth, and still today they aren't cast into the lake of fire yet, the day of judgment that's before us. And they're real. I believe they're real. You are too. And as we see, you know, they have been in heaven, and they recognize immediately. He recognizes that this is the Most High Son of God. And we can ask ourselves, how did this man end up like this? Did it just happen overnight where he's possessed by devils? And you think of what's going around. I mean, this is big. This is a hot topic now. We talk about mental health and mental illness. And we talk about all these things that within the church, and we're labeling it all these mental problems. And what, you know, how did it start for this man? It started baby steps, little by little, and then they, you know, demons, they want a vessel to a body to fill. And you know, we talk about demon possession, demon oppression. I'm not going to tell you how to believe. I know what I believe, and I know what I believe what the Bible says about demon possession. Can a Christian be demon possessed? Exactly. Well, yeah, but I encourage you to search out the scriptures to find out what your, I think there's a danger in saying, well, I can't be possessed, so I can just dabble in anything. And I can go through these open doors, I can watch this, go here, go there. I can't be demon possessed, so nothing will affect me. And so I think there's a danger in that you each open your word and not just believe something because that's what you want or that's what you like, and so that sounds good, so I'm going to believe that. But we have to have a diligence to search out the scriptures and say, you know, you have verses, you have, you know, God, what does God's word say? You know, you can read Ephesians 1, you can read, you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know where I camp, but I do believe that we can be oppressed, so oppression. And that's where the mental health and all the problems that are around us are oppression. And let's read the definition of oppression from Webster's 1828. Webster's 1828 describes oppression as the imposition of unreasonable burdens, either in taxes or services. So you can be oppressed by the government by an overburden of taxes or services, cruelty, severity. I mean, we're all aware of that in our country. To be overburdened by misery, hardship, calamity, depression, it says dullness of spirits or a sense of heaviness or weighted down. And I don't believe we can be demon-possessed because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we as Christians can be oppressed. And we can be overburdened, and we can have the hardship as we see the demons, what they do to this man, that they want to destroy us. You know, they want to destroy God's creation, that we were created in the image of God, and the devils hate that. And I'll just talk about some open door examples of Satan's devices that are all around us. And one of them could be yoga. Okay? And you'll have Eastern mysticism. It's a worship of false gods. No matter how you want to label it, you can call it Christian yoga. You can do whatever to make yourself feel good about it, or I'm just stretching for God or whatever. You know, we're taking what the devil is using for a lot of scary things, but God wants us to stay away from it. We look at movies, horror movies, and just the open doors you can walk into that, what your eyes are seeing. A lot of Christians, they love this. You might hate me for this, but Star Wars, you know, and some of these movies, Eastern mysticism, you know, you have the, what is that little circle with half black, a little bit of good in it. All evil has a little good in it, you know, or all good has a little bit of evil in it. You have all of the open doors of what Satan will use to oppress Christians, especially in the music we listen to, what we're listening to, what we're putting in our ears of worldly music, people we hang around, what they're into. You know, like I said a few weeks ago, one rotten potato turns a whole sack of good potatoes rotten. Video games, huge gateway to what we're seeing and putting in our mind. And it's, you know, serious stuff. And so we as Christians, you know, you can be saved by grace. I am saved by grace, by faith. And there's nothing I can do that that God will leave me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. But there are a lot of things that I can walk in and what my eyes will see. See, like a lot of Disney movies, all the scary images of, the evil and what children are seeing. Guilty of that. My family with kids seeing some of those movies. And, you know, I saw a guy with a shirt, you know, going on to this demons, kind of thinking about this and just reading this. And so I'm like hyper aware of all this subject. And so I was coming out of Sam's Club and that guy had a t-shirt on and it said, you know, my eyes are just boom, you know, on it. It said on it, one of these days I'm going to let my demons out to play. And I was just like, this stuff is happening. And then you think of aliens and alien activity. I believe that's all demon activity. You know, we can get, and then that guy happened. So I'm thinking about this, studying this and seeking this stuff out. And then he had Marvin the Martian socks on. So I was just like, oh, you know, that's interesting. I loved Looney Tunes growing up. And you just think of just all the little things. I'm just hyper aware. And when our minds are on the things of the world, we allow tremendous unneeded spiritual oppression in our lives. And the kids, we have kids in here, my kids. And take this as a warning as you grow up. You see the video games that you're playing. You think it's sweet and innocent, but you're allowing what God doesn't want you to have in your life to oppress you and to burden you. And we'll talk about C.S. Lewis. Some of you may be aware of the Screwtape Letters, and that book, C.S. Lewis, Christian author. He writes about the opposite. Well, it's about a senior demon. His name is Screwtape, and he's writing to his nephew Wormwood, instructing him on how to tempt and corrupt the human soul. So this required Lewis to inhabit a mindset of cynicism, deception, and moral inversion. And he would later say, after, you know, the very popular book, very popular, he would later say it was easy to twist one's mind into a diabolical perspective, but it left a bad taste in my mouth, indicating that while writing it, it flowed easily for him to write it. It left him feeling spiritually and emotionally unclean. So he talks about the negative effects that having his mind think how a demon would think to oppress mankind. And, you know, I kind of reminds me of Paul Harvey writing, you know, that's a great little skit where he talks about, if I were the devil, you know, this is what I would do to destroy mankind. And that's what's happening. And the discomfort that Lewis described was so significant that Lewis, because of the popularity of the book, he declined to write a direct sequel. And so he recognized, and as we watch certain things on the TV, as we our mind is stayed on other things of the world, it will have a negative effect. And a verse of encouragement through this is Isaiah 26:3-4. Make notes, I'll read it. I like to read the King James Version. I have that part memorized. It says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And the encouragement that through our days, he will keep, that's a promise, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jesus. So your mind, as you come, every opportunity you get, read your Bible, have your mind stayed on verses, memorizing verses rather than playing your favorite video games. Pull up teachings of, you know, this morning. I encourage you guys to follow along with Pastor Seth, 2 Corinthians 9 today. Just every opportunity you get, you know, put the Word of God in, because it will, what you sow, you reap what you sow, as we talked about last week. You sow spiritually. And if you think about it, how he described too, you know, 2 Corinthians 9, Seth teaching on this too, is we will reap sparingly if we sow little, right? You sow little, you'll reap little. And so you will reap a harvest of if you think of the fruit of the Spirit and the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those things will be produced in you as you sow bountifully spiritually. So every chance you get, the Word of God, you know, be in the Word of God. Be prepared each week to be reading ahead what God has in Mark chapter 6. And then go ahead and whatever you can do. Today's Proverb 1, as we consider. And verse 10, if sinners entice thee, do not consent. As we start each month, 31 verse days in a month, read the proverb for the day. Today's the first, read Proverb 1. Let's get back to Mark chapter 5, 8 through 20. For Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Now take note of how Jesus sees this demoniac. He sees a man, a human being, just like us. All of us, as wherever we were, he sees a human being. All the people downtown Grand Forks, wherever you are, at the grocery store, Walmart, Jesus sees a human being. He doesn't see a lunatic, even if they are demon-possessed. This man, we have the absolute extreme. I haven't seen anybody like this man in my life going out. I haven't seen anybody with that power, just cutting themselves and being able to break chains. God gives us the absolute extreme to show us that there's nobody out of his reach. So verse 9, then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly, the man begging Jesus, that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And a Roman legion we know is 6,639, or whatever the exact number is. And I believe that's more than likely the amount of demons were there. And there were 2,000 swine in the field. And they all swarmed to them violently, and the herd ran violently down to a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those around who fed the swine fled. And they go out and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed, the man, and who had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who sold it and those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Verse 17, then they began to plead with Jesus, depart, leave us, go away. And we will see Jesus is a gentleman. You ask him to leave, he will leave. He does not force himself on us. As you consider your life, you can do whatever you want. You know, you say, God, I want to live this way. I want to hold on to this. You know, leave me alone in this area. And he will let you. He doesn't force us to do anything. As we see in the scriptures, Jesus speaks the truth. And, you know, you consider that too as you're sharing the gospel with people there, maybe people in your life, friends, family, that you're sharing the gospel with. And are we forcing it on them? You share it and you know, can you overshare the gospel? I think you probably can. So I think the importance of prayer and letting God work in them as you plant that seed, watering it, having that wisdom to love on them rather than, hey, you're going to hell, so you got to repent and believe. You know, that can wear on them. Rather, God wants us with our conduct to be loving to them and share those things as the Spirit leads, because the Spirit will give us that love for others and the compassion. As Jesus has compassion throughout his ministry, we too, merciful, compassionate to others. We don't sit there and just bark at them and jam it down their throat. There is a wisdom to apply to this, and you consider those as they are raising the pigs. You know, pigs are people. You know, they cared more about the pigs and their livelihood. We see a culture of people. There's a lot of people. They love their animals more than they love people. They love their dogs, their cats, and it's amazing. As our attitude towards people is especially, you know, the love of many growing cold, and we live in a society that spends billions and billions of dollars on the livelihood of their animals. And you know, Proverbs, if you read your Proverbs, it does say the man that is gentle to his animal, right, his beast. And so we are to be good witness there. So would you rather just have enough Jesus to make you happy so you can hold on to all the pleasures? As we consider the people and their attitude, and they tell Jesus to leave. They don't care anything about this man, this miracle that had happened, what he had done, and he's in his right mind. He's a sound mind, it says. And they could care less. They care about their bottom dollar. 18, and when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be with him. However, verse 19, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Be a testimony. Be a witness. Testify to what I've done for you. And he departed, and he did begin. Verse 20, and he departed, and he began to proclaim, publish in Decapolis, the 10 cities around that region, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And I encourage you, as we get these cards, we consider the 22nd before us, our outreach, that we will give testimony of God's great love, of what has some miracles have happened to some of the guys that have, their lives have been transformed. We'll give testimony of the awesome works he's done. You know, we were lost and now we're found. Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43, we'll move on. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. So they're back on the other side. They leave the area of Gadara, and they're back in the area of Capernaum. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with them. And a great multitude followed him and pressed about him on all sides, thronged him. And in the middle of all this, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You know, I'm thankful for doctors, modern medicine. You know, they, you know, as we look at this, they too, back in the day, they practiced medicine, and she gave everything. She spent all that she had to find healing. And we'll see there's some things only God can heal. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Faith. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Opportunity to come to God by faith. You believe God could heal you. Today could be the day. You know, you may have affliction in your life. And, you know, through prayer, we can pray together. And maybe it's today. You believe God could heal you. It takes faith. As we saw at the end of chapter 4, Jesus asking the disciples, where is your faith? And as they're walking, you be the disciple as you're walking through Mark. I encourage you. Put yourself in one of the boys' shoes, and you're walking along with him, and he's teaching them. He's showing them all these things of his power, what he can do. And then in chapter 6, he's going to give them power to go out two by two and do just what he's doing. And so, you know, walk along with him and just use your imagination of what God does here. And you think about in the middle of this, you know, Jairus, is he getting impatient? And is he, come on, you know, my daughter's dying. You have all this all happening at the same time as he walks to this. And while, at verse 35, while he was still speaking Jesus, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said to Jairus, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And that, you know, encouragement to only believe, the faith. Do you believe God can do these things in other people? Or do you believe God can heal those that are on the side of the road? This morning, after church, going to the grocery store and just leaning out along the liquor store, was a guy just gone. And, you know, as I consider driving by, do I believe God can heal these people? And God says, have that faith. Go out, preach the gospel, and then they need Jesus. People need Jesus. They need the gospel. And as we were encouraged this morning, as we sow bountifully with the gospel, and that God will return a fruit from us going out and preaching the gospel. And so June 22nd, we're gonna preach the gospel. We're gonna share with others as they come, and God will, it will land on good soil. He promises. Verse 37. To consider the demons, death, and disease, nothing out of his reach. And Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. So those days they would hire people to come and wail. And so kind of interesting. And he comes to them and he's asking, he rebukes them. He says, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. But they ridiculed Jesus. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. My daughter, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he, verse 43, he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. God's care for mankind, as we walk with him in the Gospel of Mark, his compassion, he's training up his disciples. They're in the school of ministry as they're showing Jesus, as Jesus is showing them that he came. Chapter 10, verse 45, the key verse of the book of Mark, that he came to minister to and not be ministered unto. And he's teaching the disciples, he's teaching you and me, as we are all in ministry, as we're his disciples, as we're learners of Jesus, as the disciples were with him, seeing all these things, showing the disciples there's nobody outside of my reach that I can't heal, that I can't raise from the dead, that I can't cast demons out of. He has power. Power over demons. He has power over death. He has power over disease. He wants to baptize us with his Holy Spirit, and us also to go out in wisdom, to go out in faith, and to share the gospel. You know, the greatest miracle is a sinner repenting and being saved. The greatest miracle in my life, I was saved. Miracle in your life, your testimony also is that God saved me. You know, wherever you were in your life. Do I believe God can heal even the hardest cases there is? And the reminder through this, as we looked at the great works, Psalm 11:2, the works of the Lord are great, seeking out of all them that have pleasure, sought out by all of us that have pleasure therein of what God does. And Isaiah 26:3, that he will keep us in perfect peace as we consider what we're letting in our life, as we consider what we're letting our children see, as we consider the oppression that demons want to destroy us, as your coworkers and those around are, you know, labeling it mental health. And what did I see? I'm looking at, there's something also I had. They considered, I took a picture of it, what the world is turning to. You know, beach days, it says Fox News, there was a little article that says, beach days benefit mental health and well-being as visits provide sea therapy. So, you know, they're encouraging those to go to the sea, and they'll allow for mindfulness because it facilitates being more present when you are watching the ocean. And everywhere you turn, you know, men and women are looking for ways to address the state of their mind. And God tells us, stay your mind on me, in my word, and have fellowship with believers. Talk about him and your testimonies, and talk about the great works he's done, and he promises, whether you believe it or not, you know, he promises that he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. And trust ye in the Lord. Put all your weight on him forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God's works are great, and want to give opportunity tonight too, as we finish up. We have communion tonight, as we will consider, as we can come to him and be encouraged through this, and know that God is right there waiting for us. Maybe we have been watching things and we're oppressed and maybe we're depressed, we could say, and our mind is on other things, that where God is just a prayer away, a split second away, and he's right there. There's nothing that, well, I need a week of training and then I can be with God. He's one prayer away in our hearts to be like, Lord, I come to you as we consider a great night for communion, to consider the cross, and that he bore the suffering on the cross for us, and the grace. And we'll consider his grace tonight. And so after that, if you guys need prayer, we can lay hands on, pray. If you need, just need prayer, you want to come to him by faith. And Josiah, I will be up here if you need anything to pray about healing. Maybe today there's a healing that needs to happen. By faith, we come forward, pray together. And I believe God, you know, if, you know, according to his will, that he could heal. And if not, well, we know it's God's will that we continue to he'll keep that in our life to keep us praying. You know, imagine, you know, if I healed me of everything, God, you know, God would, what reason would I have to pray for him? So, I mean, you think of the infirmities in our life, you know, it causes us to go in prayer. He loves it when we pray and that we call out to him. So let's come together and take communion together. And yeah, all right, well, I'll pray. And Father, Lord, we thank you for your great works, Lord. Thank you for the testimony of your word. And I do believe, I believe and have faith, Lord, that you can do all this, Lord. I pray for your church together as we come and we consider your word as we eat together in your fields. Lord, you are our shepherd, Lord. And you love us, Lord. And you want things to be well with us, Lord. And we can come and study your word and be encouraged, Lord. And just thank you for your grace as we come to communion and consider what you did on the cross, Lord. Your body broken, your blood shed, all by the blood and the altar of what you did, giving your life for us that we can have perfect peace, Lord. So we just praise you and love you. In